Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East SETI Ranch, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. We've got a great show tonight. I wanted to cover a couple of things going on. I know this letter that I wrote about resigning from the UFO community has been flying all over the planet right now. And just to bring some clarity to that is that basically I'm just getting off of the circuit, you know, the speaking lecture circuit. And we are going to continue to have Sky Watches here and have self-mastery classes here and doing ambassador training classes. And it's mainly it's just because there's just so much nonsense going out there. I just got so fed up with all the politics and, you know, the misinformation and disinformation and everything else involved with it that it just did not become a venue that was really conducive to the message we want to put out for, you know, with the energies. I mean, if any self-respecting, spiritually or technologically advanced off-world would probably have nothing to do with some of those venues, sadly, because of the nonsense going on there. But anyway, we are going to continue, you know, with our information and getting the word out and continue with the classes and courses here. And I'm just getting out of the circuit just because it's I don't know if it can be turned around right now. I've butted my head against it for so long, and now I'm pretty much censored out of it anyway, so for bringing in the higher truth. But, you know, basically it's because you've got the, you know, the government disinformation people, you got the nuts and bolts people and the victim, you know, programs going, and just all the dark fear and suspense. It's just pretty much pushed out any of the people that are having contact with the more benevolent beings that are the majority of the picture, basically. The minority is negative, and they're getting far too much podium and airtime, you know, on all these other shows, and it's time to, like, focus on a little higher note. But this is Halloween, and it is time to talk about things that go bump in the night. And so on that note, I'd like to bring our guest on, and we've got Todd and Martina with the Pacific Paranormal Research Group, and I think they're with us. Are you with us, Todd?
Yeah, we're here. Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Okay, I can hear both of you. So it's Todd and Marina?
Martina.
Yeah, sorry, Martina. Yeah,
okay.
I didn't see your last names anywhere on the site, and we don't have to give it if you don't want, but I just want to let you know I'm not neglecting you. I just didn't see it.
Well, that's fine. Our last name is Baker.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, you've had a lot of extensive experiences here in the area. Can you talk a little bit about, I don't know who wants to go first, on what, you know, some of the investigations you've done in the area, some of the local investigations where you've had some extreme paranormal activity?
Well, what we've really done for the last 10 years is our focus has mainly been private residences and businesses. And believe me, there are some private residences that'll knock your socks off, really.
And what are some of the experiences that you had? Can you talk about, I mean, you don't have to give the exact location, but just maybe the towns or something that people might be familiar with that are somewhere near our area?
Well, in downtown Portland, you do have the history of Shanghaiing, and there are quite a few businesses that still have Shanghai tunnels there in their basements. And but some of the things that we've seen, like in Tokeland, Washington, and near that area, in private residences we've done in Washington as well, we have seen apparitions where we've seen someone walk right pretty much in front of you. We've had our equipment stolen and then returned in very strange places, like on the top of a ladder.
Uh-huh.
You know, things like that, and
even had equipment knocked out of our hands before during an investigation.
Yeah, I just tripped on an invisible rock today. I don't know how I did that, but I was walking on this path, and all of a sudden my boot hit this rock hard. I mean, it smashed my toes and everything, and all of us were looking, and I go, what the heck did I kick? And there was nothing anywhere there. It was just a flat, you know, little muddy area, and there was not a rock anywhere in sight, and I'm still kind of baffled over that one, but that is kind of a common occurrence around here.
Maybe it was a rock from another dimension or something.
Yeah, I think I tripped on an astral rock or something. But,
yeah.
there was nothing there. you know, we're having a lot of activity. I know Halloween, it does seem to be the veils are very thin between worlds. And I've noticed around Halloween that we do a lot of clearing here, a lot of healing of unseen negative influences and, you know, astral beings and things. And right towards Halloween, it seems like we get real busy doing a lot of clearing and healing work.
Yes, it is true that the veil is lifted around this time of year, whether it's, you know, just tonight or even the few days up to tonight. It definitely does make a difference with the way that things are.
And it seems to be our busiest time of the year. That's when we get most of our emails and most of our phone calls is around this time.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the beings that you've encountered? Do you know much about them other than just being, you know, like a wisp of energy or just a coldness or a feeling? Or have you actually experienced some different types of beings?
Yes. Well, when we talk about, and in our classes too, we talk about, we differentiate between ghosts and spirits only because we want a kind of an understanding. Ghosts are people who have decided, I use that word, that they are going to stay here and they're not going to go to where they're supposed to go. Now, we say spirits are those of which most of us will be who pass over to the right place and they come and visit back and forth. Mm-hmm. Other than that, also, there are some other entities that, you know, you have your negative energy entities that might have been human, but most of them are not. And, you know, there is kind of that that instance where once in a while you wonder, what is going on here? Maybe it is something astral, or it could be something, I don't want to say extraterrestrial, but, I mean, mm-hmm. we've had clients that have had those experiences along with hauntings in their house, and I think that's very interesting to know.
And also what some people would call shadow people, just, you know, the dark, shadowy figures. I mm-hmm. saw one of those at Spokewood, Washington, and that was a little unnerving to see. So we
yeah.
experienced a lot of different types of entities.
Now, have you seen the little shadow animals, too, running around?
Yes, we have seen, like, what we call, like, little shadow pets. Yeah, there's, in fact, in some places there are actually animals with their ghostly people. And you know that if you see the shadow of the cat, that the little girl would be close by or things, you know, if you see the shadow of the dog or you see the dog run, then you know that the old man is nearby, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had quite a bit of experience in that realm. We've there's a lot of places here where the veils are very thin, and actually here living on a vortex, we're having amazing things happen here. And luckily we keep the low-level stuff out, and most of the stuff is very high level, but every once in a while somebody starts toying with the darker stuff, and then they show up at the ranch, and it just goes off on a negative spin, and then eventually we have to deal with it.
Yeah, it's really easy, unfortunately, for the negative entities to come through. It seems to be a very powerful form of energy, and they just can come through at any time, and sometimes a little, well, they'll certainly show up a lot stronger than a positive entity. I think that positive entities are around us more. We get used to that. Maybe they're more subtle. And so when you have that negative entity come in, you're like, whoa, what was that?
It was really strong, yeah.
Yeah, what are some of the symptoms, you might say, or feelings you get around the negative entities, you might say?
Well, you can feel very dizzy. You can get nauseated. A lot of people have actually thrown up. When we did ghost tours at a certain location years ago, he didn't like women. He was a very negative person, and he would make pretty much every woman in my group sometime during the day actually be going out. They'd be vomiting out in the parking lot.
Wow.
So that's not uncommon to make you physically sick. And also, if there are people out there, you know, we a lot of us that have. You know, like any mental problems, or you're depressed, or you have anxiety, and they'll feed off of that, and they will certainly make those feelings stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's
yeah, I've noticed if there's any kind of mental instability or a history of that they really jump on that and play on that and play it out to the max, and it just, the bottom line is everybody just needs to take responsibility for what they're, we always say, you know, if you don't like what you're feeling, do a healing, and we teach those techniques here. But,
That's exactly right, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, there are techniques, you know, I've had extensive training in that area with both Tibetan techniques and, you know, through the Inner Christ teachings and things like that about healing unseen negative influences and being able to sense them. And we've seen the same thing, people getting really nauseated, dizzy, or sick, or ill, or having a lot of accidents, like multiple accidents right in a row. And strange things, you know, things that start, you know, just start losing things, disappearing things. Could be, some of those are just some, you know, mischievous little guys, like some gnomes and things like that playing around.
Right.
Yeah.
We get a lot of that here. We have a, I know sometimes if somebody's not in sync with these nature spirits here, that they will, they'll throw little rocks at you and hit you and you know, make rocks split right, you know, underneath you while you're standing on them, and play all kinds of little games like that until you make peace with them.
Oh yeah,
they definitely want to get your attention.
Yes.
Have you ever had any encounters with any kind of nature spirits, like gnomes, fairies, or any of that kind of energy?
We haven't. We had a house, a private residence, that they changed their mind about us coming out, and that happens sometimes. People get really nervous. But the story was that they were actually seeing gnomes in the home, which is odd to us because, no, from what we know about gnomes, is that normally they're outside.
Uh-huh.
So for them to be in the home, we would think that something outside
was threatening them, scaring them.
Yeah.
And it was driving them inside.
But it bothered the residents so much that they actually just, for some reason, they dropped it. They didn't want us to come out after all. Mm-hmm. So we never did get to go to that one. But we've seen what looks like little blue lights outside our back area, especially in the beginning of the season, such as fall and spring. And I kind of like to feel that those would be fairies out in our and it feels fine out there. So, it, you know, we have a little green space behind our place.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we had a woman here. She was a well-known psychologist. You know, she's got all the credentials and degrees. And she was sitting here, and one of these fairies flew right up in her face and just sat there fluttering right in front of her face and then took off. And there was another guy there, too, and they both witnessed it. And then she was just totally blown away by it. And then she moved. And then the next day they did it again to her. It was a female the first time, and the next time it was a male. And
well,
I
would love to see that. I would love to experience.
Oh yeah,
that.
And she was. She goes, you know, this is what we lock people up for. You know, this is what we put people on medication for. And she goes, What am I going to do with this now? You know. And I just said, well, maybe you got to go back and review your notes, you know.
Well, sometimes people contact us and they'll say, well, now don't think I'm crazy, but this is happening. We're like, believe me, we don't think you're crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Have you ever had, I know there's a guy, and I don't know exactly, I can't remember where he was, but he was somewhere there in Portland, and he was on a burial ground. His house was on a Native American burial ground. And I know that he had stuff where his TV would go flying across the room and knives fly across the room and stick in the wall and all kinds of crazy things. He'd call me up, and as soon as it started happening, and then it would calm down. But as soon as he thought about calling me, he said it got crazy. It got totally active. And they did everything, and right after he made the call, it would calm down a little bit for a while. And then he would come back up again. And what was really interesting is that he never wanted us to come and clear it or help him clear out the energy or find out what it was, because he said that he figured he could, you know, cash in on it and make a movie about it or something. I don't know. But, I mean, it got so ugly there. I don't know what happened, you know, what the end result was, because I lost communication with him. All I had was his phone number. And
I don't know anything about that.
We haven't heard anything about that, but that's definitely not something you want to play around with.
Yeah, you know, I warned him about that. I said, you know, this is way out of your league, and if you and your family are in there, and you think you're going to make it cash in on this thing, I said there's going to be a heavy price to pay on that one. I said, you know, you really need to start focusing and doing your clearing work and invite the higher beings in and work on, you know, moving these people on, these beings on.
Well, yeah, because if not, they're just going to keep on doing what they're doing. As you know, that's the one thing too about ghosts that we notice and we've learned is that when they feel like they're in control, then they are.
Oh yeah.
And many times it sounds so simple, and everybody looks at me like that's too easy, But one of the things we'll tell our clients is, have you tried just telling them, look, you know, I don't care what you do during the day when I'm not here. But at night and we're sleeping, don't come and bother my kids. Don't tease my dog. Don't bother us. And you're surprised how many times that actually takes care of a lot of their problems.
Yeah, you just tell them, take control of the situation and tell them, hey, you know what, I'm the one that's in charge here, not you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a novel idea, you know. People just want to run around and make a huge drama about it and be victims and everything else, you know. And a little self-authority sometimes is all it takes.
It really does work.
It works very well for our clients.
Mm-hmm. And what's the most craziest ones you've encountered? I mean, the most, I would say, you know, where you had things moving around or you know, things of that nature.
Well, there used to be a place, and it was an old theater, and it was a fourplex, and it was in Tiger in Washington Square Mall, and it's closed now, but there used to be a haunted house that was run out of it, and Todd and I were asked to come there because the owner who was running the haunted house was having some weird stuff go on, and so we went there many times. I mean, we spent almost every weekend there for many, many times. And we saw, oh my gosh, we had doors slamming in front of us. There was stuff falling off around us, things being knocked out of our hands. It was just crazy. And one night we were working in there, just Todd and I, and it was like, I don't know, 9 o'clock. And it's like somebody turns on sometimes this paranormal light switch and everything just goes boop crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And there were steps. You could hear them stepping all around you.
Yeah, they were opening and closing the actors' doors that are spring loaded. We could hear those openings shutting. We could hear laughing. They were turning props and equipment on and off. I mean, it just went nuts.
It was just like somebody switched something on. And so we went into one of the theaters to turn one of the props off that they had turned on. And we came back. Two pieces of our equipment that we were working were just gone. And the guy who ran the theater called us like 3 days later and said, now, I want to know how you put this hammer and this, you know, the staple gun on top of my prop in Theater One. I'm like, you know what? I couldn't even climb up there if I wanted to.
I had this thing happen, incident. It was like a small one, you know, and everybody goes, oh, you just misplaced them. But I had these keys, and I just got this new truck, you know, it was a brand new truck, you know, I put my keys down on this table, and I knew where I put them down on this table, and they were gone. They weren't there. And I go, what is going on here? This is just so weird. And I took that table apart, and I had another person. I said, go up there and look. You know, cause sometimes you overlook things. There's various reasons for that happening. And
right.
So I had another person go up there, and she just cleaned everything off this table and looked for it, and there was nothing there. And then I had a third person go up there. I mean, I tore this whole place apart looking for it and the keys, and they were not there. And then my nephew came up, and he goes, you know, I just had a vision. He goes, somebody's screwing with you, that somebody's taking those keys, but they're going to put them back. You know, and he goes, I've got a feeling that they're back on that table. And I said, well, you know what? You go find them, because I, you know, every time I go up there and look, they're not there. And there was nobody else that could have gotten in or out, because I keep this room locked. And, you know, I, you know, gave him the key, went over there, and he unlocked the door. He walked in there, and I go, where were they? And he goes, they're sitting right on top of the table.
Right where you left them.
Yeah.
Everybody was having a good time with you.
Well, you know, what's interesting, too, that we have learned when they do what we're talking about, which is called an apport, A-P-P-O-R-T, mm-hmm. And that is when they take something, it becomes part of them. I mean, we've had clients who were painting and had the big paint jug there, and then he goes down to, sorry, there's a siren going by, I apologize.
Sorry.
And painting the wall, and then he goes down to get more paint, and lo and behold, the paint is gone. And you'd think that you'd see them carrying that physical item around with them, but they're not. So that means that, yes, they could be standing right next to you, James, with your keys and laughing, and they've got them. You can't see your keys.
Uh-huh. Well, that was this case. I mean, those keys were definitely gone. You know, we had two or three people, you know, look, take everything off the table, check everything, and they were gone, and then they appeared again. And then, you know, speaking of painting, I had one day we do a lot of transpersonal release sessions where we clear past life trauma, birth trauma from age one, and using the very beginning, we have to clear whatever entities are hanging around bothering people in the very beginning, just so we can, you know, create a clear space to do the other work. And mm-hmm. one day this woman came in and she said, I've just got entities harassing me. And I said, well, you know, let's clear them out. And so we sat down, we cleared them out. And on the way out, there's these 5-gallon buckets, plastic buckets. And luckily, I just finished painting these two rooms, and the paint was dried in the bottom of these buckets. And all of a sudden, we hear these buckets just go flying across the room and slam into the wall.
Whoa.
You know, as soon as we cleared these entities and moved them on. And we walked up there, and the buckets were sitting on a piece of plywood before, flat. You know, there's no way they could have fallen or anything else. And they were up against the side of the wall, and they actually put a dent in the wall that hit the wall so hard.
Wow, that's some heavy-duty throw-in there.
Somebody was angry.
Somebody wasn't real happy.
Yeah, they weren't happy about having to leave. And then, you know, the other one I found, there was, what's really weird, it was on Halloween. And it was a house, and we were doing a lot of clearing. There was a very large group there that meets there all the time. And we did a bunch of clearing, and they actually busted her windows.
Oh,
you know,
goodness.
On the way, they busted a couple windows on the way out. You know, I thought that was pretty weird. And the weird thing about it is the window was, we heard these windows break, and they're double pane, and they broke on the inside. So
okay,
it wasn't,
yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't somebody throwing a rock from the outside or anything else. And one was a heavy duty bathroom window with all the grid in it and everything, the metal wire. And
wow.
It broke on the inside pane, just, you know, yeah, it was totally shattered.
Well, I mean, how do you explain that to the glass guy, you know? Could you
yeah.
come in? Oh, who did that? Never mind.
Well, you know, I didn't feel really good about it at the time, because the woman's house, you know, she had some damage to her house. You know, it wasn't a good thing. But that's a consequence sometimes when you start moving these beings out. You know, sometimes they take a little parting shot on the way out.
Oh, yeah. No, they can certainly do that. And they can be very stubborn as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you, when you do clearings, how do you actually clear the houses out and move these beings on, or?
Well, what we try to do more is because I am the psychic and Todd's the scientist, so
mm-hmm.
it's more like of an intervention. I really want to give the entity itself the opportunity to move on without any problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, and many times that actually does occur.
Yeah.
Which is really good, because if they've made the choice to stay here, from our experience and what our, you know, that it's, you know, getting them to just leave sometimes, like you said, can be very difficult for the clients involved and for everybody. And it has worked out well, just to kind of get them to the point where they understand that they don't belong to be there, you know, that they're not supposed to be there anymore. And you know, bring some spirit guides in to help them move on. And
mm-hmm.
that seems, and just kind of make it a pleasant experience for them as much as possible. For me, that's worked well. That's kind of what I do. So,
yeah, I've always felt that's the best approach. You know, love is the ultimate power, and, you know, bring in the higher beings, and, you know, ends up clearing that out. I, you know, people go, do you recommend exorcism? And I said, well, you know, you just chase the entity out, and it goes and bothers somebody else. You know, it's and usually comes back again.
That's exactly right. And many times what you'll find is somebody going in and trying to do an exorcism and basically just making them mad.
Yeah, it just makes the situation worse, and they get more violent, and they get more active, and they get really mad.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Even, it was really funny, one guy was going down there because he was having all these problems with these certain energies, and I said, make peace with them. He goes, no, they're messing with me. I'm going to take care of it. And I said, and I just turned and looked at him. I said, you'll lose, you know.
Yeah, you'll lose quickly.
Yeah, I said, you'll lose. I said, you make war with these guys. And there were some nature spirits, you know. And I said, you don't make war with these guys. You sit down and talk to them, you know, make
yeah,
peace with them.
And
Give them an offering or something.
Yes, exactly. Especially nature spirits. You don't want to make them mad.
Yeah. It's not not nice to fool Mother Nature, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, this one guy was sitting there, and he goes, "I don't believe in any of this stuff. It's just nonsense. This is all a bunch of nonsense." And he goes, "I don't believe any." And he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, this little rock hits him in the back of the head.
Do you believe now?
Did he believe after that?
Yeah, and there was like nothing around. You know, he looked all around. There was nobody anywhere, and he could not figure out where that rock came from, you know. They will mess with you around here. But there's some, you know, we have some awesome things happen here. Very, most, 90% of it's very benevolent, other than what people bring here sometimes, which we have to clear up. But, you know, it's...
You don't really have any control over that.
Yeah, if you greet them with aggression and arrogance, you know, you might have a lesson, you know, that comes your way. And it doesn't mean they're a negative entity. You just didn't, you know, deal with it with the proper means, you might say.
Right, right, exactly. No, I agree with that, too. But, yeah, I mean, and it's hard, I'm sure, for you, because you don't have a lot of control over that. I mean, really, you know, who's going to show up, right?
No.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have people come in here. I mean, we've had thousands of people come in here for sky watches and things like that, and the conferences will have 300 people at those sometimes. Lately, it's last conference was a little smaller because of the economy and everything, but the you know, you get that many people all together. But if you can guide that collective consciousness in a positive manner, you can have, you know, miracles happen, which we've seen here, actually.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Because you're near Mount Adams there, that area, and I was wondering... From what you see, like UFO activity, I'm just curious if around this time of the year, do you notice at all if it seems to increase or decrease?
It seems, you know, it's still going on, not as much. It seems to me, and this just might be because there's more people out there, but in the summertime, I mean, it's crazy. We see just tons of ships, and sometimes around Christmas, we see a lot of activity, you know, if we're out there. But I know in the summertime, everybody's out there, so there's so much activity in the summertime. And we also have the Mount Adams where we're facing it. We're looking up at it, and there's a door that opens on Mount Adams, and light spheres and all these things come out of that door. And we've got that on film, actually. We've got hours and hours of footage of these light spheres actually interacting with people in a very positive way. And we've had complete spontaneous healings of broken wrists and tumors and all kinds of things. Cancers have just vanished, you know, but I don't promise that. I don't promise that to anybody. It's between them and spirit what happens. But we've had a lot of spontaneous healings happen here just, you know, because of these energies that are zipping around here.
That's really interesting. I always wondered about that because, you know, we're talking about a different entity there altogether than what Todd and I usually deal with.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, like I said, there has been some instances where some of our clients, especially in private residences, have kind of told us stories, and they sound almost like they're describing not really ghostly encounters, but possibly extraterrestrial ones. Kind of mixed in, maybe, with, like, some activity that's going on.
You know, it seems to be when you have a negative vortex or an area where the energy is really psychometrized into the land and creating kind of a distortion or a low frequency. I've seen all the above happens. You have discarnate spirits there, and you have low-level contacts going on, and... You know, I disagree with some of the ufologists out there, you know, that say that it's all benevolent. It's all like, you know, singing and dancing, you know, and the other holding hands, you know. It doesn't really work that way. There are low-level contacts, you know, as above, so below, and there are beings that have their own agendas going, but the majority of it is benevolent and very service-oriented, but there definitely are some beings, you know, of the, I always talk about the gray and the reptilian energy is a very gray area, you know, it's,
Right, yeah.
you know, it's good to avoid that one unless you know what you're doing, and unless you have some major backup behind you, it's better just to avoid that energy altogether.
Yeah, that's not something that we would deal with.
Yeah, I'll have to be honest and say that some of this alien stuff, you know, I'm the one who talks to the dead, and they freak me out, okay? Aliens freak me out. And maybe for good reason. They just, because I know something's going on, and I know it's being hidden, and it really, really bothers me, you know?
Oh, the cover-up and everything, or?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's here we've had, we just had a guy up here from Coin 6.
Oh, wow.
Up here. And he was here, and he came and he did an interview. And, you know, it's a pretty good interview, and we tried to educate him about the difference between discarnate spirits and orbs and ultra-dimensionals and the ships, you know, and it got all mixed up in the interview. You know, he was here, and a ship came in and powered up right over his head. And he was jumping up and down and screaming like a kid. You know, he goes, I didn't expect this. And he was just like jumping all excited and everything. He goes, I can't believe it. I saw it, you know. And they knew we were doing the interview, so they came in and put a little show on, you know, right over our heads there.
Hey, so, that's always nice.
Yeah, and, you know, he promised he would say, I go, will you go on the air and tell them what you saw, that you saw it personally? I said, it's really important. He goes, I'm going to do it. He goes, I promise I'm going to do it. And he chickened out. He didn't do it. So
Yeah,
you know, we've had that happen before, too, where we've been places, and then things have happened to our, you know, the media that's with us, and then they'll go back and write, it's not rotten, but not, they never mention what happened to them.
It freaks them out so bad, and they don't understand what they've seen, they just don't even mention it.
Yeah, it's like that, that arrow of omission or whatever. But, it's amazing how they've come here, they've seen the ships, we give them remarkable footage, undeniable footage of double ships coming in and powering up and lighting up the whole field and people. And at the last conference we had four big ships come in one after another with all the people in the conference were out in the field, and a lot of the speakers were there. And a lot of these speakers have PhDs. You know, they're very connected in the awakening and healing realms, you know, written books and everything. And they're out in the field. And this comes in, and we get it all on film. And we gave them this footage, you know, to check it out. You know, this is what's going on. And you never see it. All you see is this ambiguous light dancing around, you know, that they're saying is UFO. And we've got these things coming in just lighting up the whole field and powering up and everybody cheering, you know, the whole crowd down there like cheering when it happens. You know, but they seem to miss that.
Well, sometimes I wonder if the things that are right in front of some people's faces, they miss more than anything else.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, you know, that old adage, it's really interesting, is that you do see with your brain, not your eyes. You know, your eyes are picking up billions of bits of information, and your brain is choosing out of that what is useful for you or what, it, you know, is fits with your belief system or whatever. So I've just
That's
seen
right.
some people, if you aren't educated in these areas, that maybe it's just, you know, even though it's there, it doesn't register or something. I don't know what happens, but something happens within their brains that just shifts them right into instant denial.
Right,
it
yeah.
It just kind of shuts off.
Yeah, everything just kind of shuts down at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know people came up here, and, I mean, they're people heavily involved in the UFO field, and, you know, multiple witnesses standing on both sides of them, and we saw some amazing things, and they go back and say they didn't see anything.
Maybe it's too much for them to handle.
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, you know, to me, there's two things going. I figure either it's just too real, and to talk about this might lose some of their power over the group they have. They want to be the head dog or whatever, you know. And so there might be some jealousy or other issues there, you know, or financial issues talking. But, and, you know, and also, too, it just might be too much, too much for them. And then there's always the people that are out there for the wrong reasons, the disinformation people that, you know, the UFO field is just riddled with it.
Yeah, we've got an interesting, our community is very interesting as well. So we'll just leave it at that. Be nice.
Yeah. I just want to do the paranormal or the ghost industry. Do they eat their young as well as the UFO community?
Yes, they do.
Yep. And they chew them up, spit them out, and then move on.
Yeah,
it's just amazing. I've never seen anything like it. And you greet these people with pure intent and open arms and love, and you say, "Yeah, come on up." And you show them the stuff and everything else, and then they walk out the door and just slam a knife in your back, basically. And what possessed you to do that? And it's all, a lot of people just want to be contradictory just for the sake of being contradictory. It makes them feel like an authority or more powerful than somebody else to put your program down.
And I think that's so ridiculous because, in your field and in our field and other people that are in our field, we're all doing the same thing. We're all looking for the same thing.
We could all learn from each other. Everybody has different ideas, different theories. You can learn a lot from each other if everybody would just work together and cooperate.
Right. I think the problem is that there's like a real shortage of ghosts right now and UFOs. And so there can only be a few of us out there working on these projects.
People are claiming their ghosts. That's my ghost.
That's my ghost. We get that. I'm going to contract this place.
Yeah, I always tell people, there's really no shortage. All you got to do is go out at night, get some, especially if you can get some night vision. We have that third generation night vision goggles. And get a good set of binoculars or night vision goggles. Go out there at night, take a group, take your friends out, stare up, look at the sky.
You got night vision goggles? Really?
Yeah, we have the military third generation.
Do they work pretty well? We've never used those before. We use the night vision cameras, but we don't have the goggles.
Oh, it's light years beyond the cameras. The goggles are, and you know what else you might try? And I haven't tried this, but I can do it with the, any kind of a plasma field or orbs or light spheres or whatever else is going on. If you get a, we have these big infrared spotlights. And then you use those and the night vision goggles together, and the infrared lights anything up that's there in that infrared room, which is where a lot of these ghosts hang out. And the night vision goggles allow you to see them clear as a bell.
Oh, wow.
Try that. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, you have to come up here sometime, and we'll bring all the equipment out and play. But
we want to.
We would absolutely.
We really would love to
do
that.
Yeah, we can get a lot of the. Anything in the infrared we can film, in the part of the ultraviolet we can get. We've got some special cameras and ways of illuminating things, but I know a lot of the ghost activity and all that stuff is, most of it's in the infrared, and you can really illuminate it with these, with the night vision. Now, I know Sony came out with, I'll give them a plug here, but they came out with a night, it's not night shot, but it has the night vision built into a new camera.
I think that's the one we have.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, we've got that one.
It works really well. We've had a lot of good luck with it.
Well, they're about $1,200, aren't they, or something?
Not quite that much.
Oh, okay. Because I know one guy came up here and he paid $1,200 for one, but it had a little brain in it and a special computer chip and everything else that. But
maybe
he had actually, it wasn't just night shot, it was actually night vision. And I don't know what the generation was, but he was actually, it was close to what we had. It was very close. Now, if you have that camera, you could actually get an infrared spotlight and use that camera, and you'll probably see all kinds of things, moving around that ordinarily you wouldn't see.
I'm going to have to try that. Yeah, I'm definitely
going to
have to try that.
Yeah, we will. Because, of course, we work in the dark, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. You can't even see these infrared lights, when you're shooting them out there. You, You don't even look, but when you pull the night vision up, the whole place is illuminated, and we get the orbs that way, and we have like columns of orbs just spinning and swirling, and we have them pulsing, you know, energy pulsing off these orbs, and we have them hit people in the chest sometimes, and their arms go flying up. You can see it happen, and they just start laughing out loud, and they get these total bliss hits when these you know, ultra-dimensional beings, when they come, you know, buzzing through them.
That's a lot of positive energy.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that the other ones, I mean, you can definitely, if you have the negative stuff, you can use it same way. You can, you know, get photographs of them or get video of the energy around them, you know, whatever kind of plasma field they're generating or energy field.
When you're photographing the orbs there on those types of beings, do you ever notice them being a different color?
You know, ours here, the orbs here are just beautiful pinks and greens and gold, just awesome colors, you know, just very beautiful colors, you know, and sometimes they're just white, you know, we'll get some white ones, you know, now and then, but... And we've blown these pictures up, and there's undeniable faces in them.
Yes, we've gotten some great faces in some of ours.
It looks like they're
and
smiling
some of them look
and
like
laughing.
They're smiling and laughing.
And yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, we get a lot of the different colored ones, too. We know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, we had some of them we took pictures of are animal spirits, because you can see... to me, orbs are just spirits without bodies, you know, on different levels of consciousness, you might say. And
right.
We've had animal spirits where, undeniable, you see the face of a bear or a cougar or a, we've had the face of, look like a deer or something in one. Pretty amazing, you know, that, and, you know, undeniable, when you look at them, you go, boy, that's a bear face.
Mm-hmm. I think the only one we've gotten like that was that cat.
Yeah, we got a cat.
We got a cat. You can see its little fuzzy ears and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have ones that look like Merlin, you know. They have long beards and they're big golden orbs and they have beards. And we have one that looks, some of the orbs we're getting here look biblical. They look like Mary or somebody out of a Bible scene with their faces. So it's pretty interesting, but I got to share something with you. We had this thing just happen here. It was amazing. It's on the website. We had this Japanese monk here named Khan, and the guy looks like a big samurai warrior, you know, a great big guy. But he's just the most loving bliss bomb. You know, he was undefeated street fighter and everything else, and then he had this huge awakening, and now he's just this big bliss bomb, you know, and. He came out to the ranch here, and he was teaching Kundalini, it's a 2,000-year-old technique of awakening, very powerful practice, very simple practice, too. But, you know, he was doing a workshop here teaching everybody Kundalini. And, you know, he's saying it was a very special place. You know, he just loves the energy here when he came here. And he's walking out in the field, and he saw this energy appearing to him coming down, all these balls of light and everything. He took a picture and he got them. And it started out like a brilliant, bright green and yellow light kind of, and then all these pink balls of energy coming down. And then
Wow. The
third picture he took was identical to Kuan Yin. The Kuan
cool.
Yin paintings you see, I mean, identical. And manifested right out in the field here. And he got that picture. And then, so I asked him, I said, hey, he was out there again the next night, and I said, can you meditate on Ezekiel, this being I work with?
Uh-huh.
And he said, what is... I said, well, when I experienced it, it was just this pure golden white light with... And it's a being, but it's just pure energy. And so I said, in its highest form, but it will drop down and create a form if you need it. But one of the forms I saw, it had long golden hair and a golden beard and golden robes, and it was all pure energy. And so he goes out there, and I hear him laughing and laughing out in the field, because Ezekiel is known as the god of eternal bliss. And you see him take a picture with his cell phone, no flash, nothing, on his cell phone. And he's got this huge golden light, white in the middle with wings at the top of it. And behind of it looks like the Dome of the Rock, you know. It's like it opened a portal up to, you know, the Middle East or something. Just really outrageous photograph.
Wow, and, that's cool.
Yeah, no Photoshop, nothing. But you can see Kuan Yin, and she's got a vessel, and she's riding a dragon, and she's holding this vessel in her hands, and just undeniable. But it's on the website. You can, if you go to eSETI.org, you can check it out, and it's on the...
Oh, yeah, I want to look at that. That's so cool, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just the energy we're working with is just phenomenal, and people are just exploding here, dropping all their old baggage and everything, and you can photograph this energy as we're working with people. You can see these huge golden plasma balls behind us as we're working and, you know, moving through us as we're doing the work.
Wow, that's really cool.
And we definitely have to make it out sometime.
Yeah, we'll have to come out.
Yeah, you come out and bring your equipment. It's fun to play with this stuff.
Yeah, but you know, I just got to tell you, I mean, the ghosts sometimes run away from me and they walk through Todd. I wonder if the same thing would happen there.
For some reason, I get touched and walk through a lot.
And they look at me and they're like, yeah, no, whatever, I'm going to talk to you.
Well, I know sometimes if you take a real scientific approach, they know you need a little more nudging, you know.
Yeah, maybe that could be it.
Yeah, so they'll mess with you a little more, you know, just
yes.
to show...
They'll
show you things that are just totally unexplainable, that you, there's no way you can wrap your head around it or logically explain it away. And I know this from my own experience, because I used to be that way. You know, I used to be very left brain, very analytical, very, and now I've seen just too much. You know, I can't go there anymore.
Yeah. He's still like that, but, and so if I say to him, you need to start taking pictures like right over there. He's like, well, mm-hmm. what are you talking about? There's nothing there. I'm like, just do it. Just do it.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is that now I'm one of those guys that goes, you got to take pictures right over there. <You know? laughs> And it's kind of interesting. And people get, you know, you try to explain it to people. And, you know, they look at you like you're nuts or you're crazy or anything. And now I just say, right over there, just take a picture right where I'm pointing. And they do. And then they look at their film and they go, oh, my God. And I go, well, will you believe me if I just told you what was there, you know, without the photograph? And they go, no, you know.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And it's just sometimes easier to say, just let them get their own evidence. Just do it. Just take the pictures. Just film right there.
Yeah, yeah. Now, have you ever had just what would probably be your most outrageous case that you've experienced, I'd say, that had the most impact on both of you?
Impact. You know, I think for me, I don't know about for Todd, but for me there was one that we did in the town here of Milwaukee. And it was a teenaged girl ghost. Maybe, I don't know, well, I say teenage, she was probably like maybe not quite, 11, 12, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what really got my attention was we got her saying her name as an EVP, which is electronic voice phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And she came out to talk to us, and she really had an impact on me, because when she, you know, when they talk to you, it's mostly telepathically in a lot of ways. And she told me so much about what had happened to her. And I can't, if they don't want to talk to you, you're not going to get much. You know, I don't care what people say. They're not going to tell you mm-hmm. what's going on. You're not going to get it a lot of times. But she was so into that and telling me everything and how it happened. And I went down and talked to the client and said, look, she came into the backyard. There were horses back here, and she wasn't supposed to ride them, and that's how she knows she got killed riding the horses, and the owner wasn't home. And the lady goes, oh, my God, we have the sound of running horses sometimes going.
Sounds like a stampede.
Stampede going by their window, and she just burst into tears.
Oh, wow.
And she was, and I said, well, I know her name, and you can call her Carrie. Mm-hmm. And I tried to get her to move on, but she had so much guilt about what she had done that she was worried that she was going to get a spanking, and so she refused to leave, and she wanted to stay with the current owners because she saw them as, you know, parent figures. And so she had gotten her a stuffed horse, I guess, and started leaving it for her ghost. And when I contacted her a couple weeks later, she just said that she'd actually seen her, and the girl had said, thank you, I love you. And those are that one really just stays with me. I don't know, it's just the whole thing just really stays with me about, you know, I mean, it would be nice if the little girl would have gone to where she's supposed to go, but mm-hmm. what can you do, you know? And if she's comfortable there, who am I to say no, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd say probably for me was when I saw that shadow figure at Tokeland, Washington. We were doing a joint investigation with another group, and we had the hotel to ourselves. And we had all the lights turned off. I was in our room, and I was putting on my tool belt, putting all my equipment away. And I walked out in the hallway, and I was fidgeting with stuff, putting stuff in my belt. And I stop and look, and there's this black figure walking across the hallway. And I look, it stops and turns and looks at me, and we're sitting there staring at each other. And then all of a sudden, you know, I froze. I didn't have time to get my camera out or anything, and it just turned and went right through the wall. And I went up to the wall with my EMF meter, and my meter was going crazy. It was just going off the scale. But for me to stand there, and I was looking at it, and it was looking at me, and we were just kind of like having a face-off, that was a pretty major deal for me.
Did you see any detail, like, in its face, or could you tell if it was a male or female, or any dress it was wearing or anything? Or
I could tell it was a male figure by the body shape, but that's all I could tell.
Uh-huh. But no other tall features, just like a shadow.
Yeah, it was tall and skinny.
Uh-huh. Yeah, those do, you know, raise the hairs on your back your neck when those happen.
Yeah, and especially I'm standing there looking at it, and it's looking at me, and we're just staring at each other. Just a few feet away, and it's like, whoa. Yeah.
I know, he comes downstairs white as a ghost, no pun intended. And he's got all his equipment wrapped around him, and he's telling me what happened. And, of course, we're all ghost hunters in this conference looking at him going, well, did you take a picture of it? He's like, well, no.
I didn't have time. I didn't have time to do anything.
Well, you know, that happens here all the time. We have people, I mean, one guy was a Qigong and Kung Fu master and everything, and he said, I'm not going to go forward unless these ships come down low, you know, where I can see them. And we're out there burning, big burn pile out there, and you know, a couple ships came in. I think there was three of them, I think, and one dropped in right over us, right down on top of us, and cruised right over our heads, and he just stood there frozen. With his camera, you know, on his shoulder. Yeah, $7,000 camera this guy had. Amazing equipment.
Wow.
And he totally froze.
Yeah, I was afraid. If I moved, I didn't know what it would do. And I figured by the time I got the camera, I'd try to take a picture, it would have been gone anyway. So we just kind of stared at each other.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way, you don't want to piss it off either.
I don't know what it's going to do, so I think I'll just stand here until it does something.
Yeah, you know, everybody goes, they go, oh, I would do this, I would do that. But that's not the case. You know, when those things happen, you know, it was like, I mean, we had a really funny one happen once. We were doing a Native American ceremony, and we're all sitting there in this circle. And this little rabbit comes running right up to us. And it was a little ghost rabbit. It wasn't, I mean, it was clearly a rabbit, but there was no real form to it. No solid form. And it came running right up the group, and we're sitting there watching this rabbit come right up to us, and it stops and it just disappears with all of us looking at it. And we just look at each other and we go, did you see that? And they go, yeah. And I go, what'd you see? I asked this other person, a woman, what'd you see? And she goes, well, it looked like a rabbit. And yeah, and it came right up to us and just like sat there for a second, then just poof, was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, and how do you explain that? I mean, other people saw it. You know, there's a couple other people saw it too, and they're trying to figure out why this little rabbit was running up to us. They thought it would like what we were doing or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was attracted to the energy.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Is there? Have you ever had anything like stuff flying around or flying around the room, or you know, like physical objects and?
The one in West Lynn,
we had the dishes kind of coming out.
Yeah, and the woman made pottery. She had a kiln, and her the stuff she'd make would fly against the wall and break.
And break, yeah.
Yeah, and dishes would fly out of the cabinets and break.
But she also did have an autistic child, and there's been some research done on that, to be honest. And I'm willing to bet you that he was telekinetic. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
But there was some stuff, even while we were there, that was flying around here and there. Yeah, you could hear it and see some of it, yeah.
What I've noticed is a lot of the poltergeist activity usually has a teenage element in it, where the ghost is either very young or there's teenagers that are in the house or something, that it seems to be a common element.
I'm so glad you said that, because yes, it is. And one of the things I'll ask people who are having poltergeist-like activity, and Todd knows this, you know, we ask these questions, is you have children, what are their ages? And it could be a male or a female, but more often it's a female pubescent, you know, adolescent. And that energy has to go somewhere when they're that age. And at times it just appears to explode. And you'll notice that when you talk to them and they say, yes, it happens, I go, well, does it happen when Sherry, let's say her name's Sherry, Sherry's there. And she'll say, yeah, well, what about when Sherry's gone? No, it's quiet when Sherry's gone. Well, there's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's the conduit for this.
Yeah, there's definitely some element involved. And that's what I've seen in some of my work, too, that a lot of the poltergeist activity usually is a child spirit, or, you know, as you were saying, like a teenager in the house. But I think that one attracts the other. It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, is it the, you know, the PK energy from the kid that is opening the door for these other things to happen, or is it the other things that are happening that are attracted to the kid? I don't know.
Yeah, they do seem to complement each other somehow, or feed off of each other. Definitely, I'll agree with that. Yes.
Yeah. You know, we're almost out of time here. It's probably a good time to give people access to, you know, your website and to know more about you. So what's the best way for people to contact you?
They can go to our contact page or on our About Us page. You can write me at Martina@WPPRS. And our website is www.nwpprs.com.
Sounds great. And I'll have to have you come up to the ranch here and bring your equipment up here and see what we can capture. And we can play with the night vision goggles and the infrared and see what happens sometimes.
We would love to experience that. That would be great.
Sounds great. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. It's been awesome having you on the show. We'll do it again soon. And I can't thank you enough for coming on this show. We'll have to sign off now, so have a great evening.
All right, happy Halloween.
Thank you very much. Happy Halloween.
All right. Well, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have an awesome weekend. And, you know, the old saying is, if you don't like what you're feeling, do a healing. You know, sit down and invoke whoever you feel good about, whatever main teacher and guide you would like to invoke and bring into the situation, and ask them to assist you to clear the energies. And what better night than tonight, when the veils are very thin? But anyway, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.